So just give me a bit of the background to this before we go into the detail of the what's on the board. Just give me a bit of the story, the
background to it, basically, is the way I am on site is it's my site. That's how I see site. So I'm very in control. I like to be the name, you know what I mean? So I get involved with a lot of people, and my dad noticed it. We got a lot of private jokes going on, and basically made this board up out of all our little private jokes that when in the future I come back to it and I can just read through them and I go, oh yeah, I remember that. That was really good. And it's just basically that's it. It's just a very personalised thing.
Right. So why don't you give us a start with go.
Yeah.
And where we go from there.
This first one's Marshgate Lane, and basically I think he just put that one on so I knew the names of the roads, like as you say they're changing. So Marshgate Lane was we'd done a lot of works on Marshgate Lane, and nothing really to tell about it, just it was an area we were working in. Then we go on to Community Chess, which is not personalised. Then we got another Waterdon Road, which was another road we worked on a lot.
Just around there. So it's the basic geography of the...
Yeah, we got a few just the names of the roads and things. And then we go on to Ed's Boatyard.
Right, tell us the story.
All right. Ed was just the bloke that... He was a site engineer. He'd come out with us, and when we go on to a job, he'd be, how can I explain? If we have any problems, we speak to him, he'll be telling us whether to pull off or carry on drilling and that kind of thing. And he just liked his boats. My dad said Ed's Boatyard, and he'd, little private joke, when you're talking about boat, we'd bring up Ed and that. It's hard to explain, mate.
He had a thing about boats, did he?
Yeah, he was very keen on them, and like he helped us a lot, because that was when we got our boat, and he told us a lot of stuff, and he was quite big on them, as far as I could tell, we knew a lot about them. So to remember Ed, the boatyard. And then we move on to Brookar Road, which is when we was driving around, because I'd only just started driving at the time, when we was working up there, and he insured me on the truck, and my dad would say, we'd be going up to a red light, well, it'd be a green light, and if it went orange, and I didn't slow down, if I did slow down for it, that'd be a Brookar, Brookar, like the old chicken, and it's just all the time, just messing around, and... Like this, we still use it. If like you come up to any kind of junction, if you hesitate, you're Brookaring. It's just a private thing and just a bit of fun. But yeah, I had a lot of Brookar. Then we've got the perfume skip, which was over. It was a distribution centre, and it was down. You know where Wharton Road is. It was where, you know, they put the fence up, at the first fence, which stopped people going to the plug project area. It was on the other side of that, and it was a just a distribution place. And they had these, I think they was working on perfumes and things. And they had anything that was, if the box was damaged, it'd go in there. And I was in there all the time, like in my lunch break, snooping around, trying to find out what's going on. I got a lot of nice stuff out of there and that, but I don't think I was allowed, so. But just another thing that I just will remember, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's powerful because it's, yeah.
It was like...
Perfume's a powerful thing to remember, isn't it?
Yeah, well, when we was on the, when we was on that site, if anyone says, where's Gary? I was over at the perfume skip. Like everyone was really, but and then we go on to the Blackwall crash zone, and that was you know, the Blackwall tunnel. I had a nice little crash in there, which was a bit tasty. I went into the back of this Land Rover because it wasn't my fault. But yeah, I just went into the back of him just didn't slow down in time, and he always brings that up, that if anything happens, remember the Blackwall crash zone.
Was your dad in the car at the time?
Yeah. I slowed right down and I literally hit him about 2 miles an hour, but still counts.
That's a story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, then, so we're going round the jail. And the next one,
the lying tongue.
Yeah.
That was when I first started drilling. We had my uncle working with us, and he was, I don't know, he was all right at first, and then I don't know, I started getting a bit more comfortable around my dad and around him, and we'd do a lot of horseplay and just messing around and that, and he didn't like. I think he realised that my dad had a few ideas for me. He wanted me to get into the drilling, and I don't think Paul liked that, because Paul had been doing it for a fair few years. And he rang up one Sunday afternoon and he says, "Oh, I'm jacking it in. Gary loves to take the piss out of me and all this." And my dad just says, look, Paul, like, he's messing around with you. He's a young lad. He's no threat to you, is he? And all this kind of thing. And he goes, "Oh, I'm gonna go back to lorry driving." And we took it at that. And then word of mouth, we found out that he had actually a few weeks before had actually been inquiring about jobs elsewhere. Found himself a job with another company doing the same thing, but. It was just the way he went around about it. If he really wanted to, like, get on his own, earn some more money and that, my dad said he's a good driller. I'd have taken him on like that and I'd have really sorted him out. But he just went the wrong way about it and he lied. And so we just call him the lying tongue, and, like, we just say his tongue's as long as, like, it's about 5 metres long. And when you go around roundabouts, he takes out all the plants and that because his tongue's hanging out. It just went the wrong way about it, and it was just a nasty thing to do, because my dad took him in when he was a bit needed someone. And that's basically the lying tongue.
Right, okay. These are great stories, yeah, right.
All right.
So, where are we on to next?
Is my turban dirty road?
That must have a story to it.
Well, it actually starts at home, not at work. It was like, you know when you get these things on your mobile phone and they ring up, and basically this bloke, it's a bloke, and he rings up this Indian takeaway, and he orders all this stuff, and he says, "Yes, my brother's gonna come and collect it. Do you need his name?" And he says, yes, and he says, "Right, his name is Ismail." And he says, "Well, could you spell this for me?" The bloke at the Indian restaurant. And he says, "Yeah, I'll spell it for you." He says, "ISMYTURBANDIRTY." And then the bloke goes, "Is my turban dirty?" And then, like, basically, we're just creasing up about it. And we just say it a lot of the time. It's just that it's just when you're at work, there's nothing else to do, you know what I mean? And it's just a bit of fun.
It's not racist, but no. I can say it's just part of the crack, really.
Yeah. I got plenty of friends that are. But right. Yeah, it's just a laugh. You have to hear the recording to really find it funny. Mm. I'm sure a person with a turban would find it funny. It's very funny. Right, isn't it? See? She's crazy. <now. laughs> And then, that's basically is my turban dirty road.
Okay, so what's next?
Hotel California.
All right.
It was, it was a bit of a, it was a Stratford strip bar. And there's a bloke called Dave we was working with. He used to work for the bomb disposal place. And what he'd do would be to check the borehole, check if there was any magnetic fields and that. But he's always going on about Hotel California. He's just all the time, just loved it in there. And basically it was just a strip bar. I never got to go in there, but if you ask Dave where he was at, it was always Hotel California.
Did quite a lot of the people working there used to go there?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I know like a few of the lads from the bomb disposal place used to stay up in Stratford, so Dave would have them all down at Hotel California.
Right, okay. Right, okay.
Goff's Graveyard. This is this was another bloke who worked with that Dave. He was a bomb bloke as well, and he was a very. He'd just come back from Iraq, and he seemed like a normal bloke, and he met this woman, and she was a Goth, and he just changed into a Goth, just coming to work one day with a Mohican and pink hair, and we're just messing around with him and that, because he was a Goth and things. And we spread a little rumour that he was... because he didn't come in for 2 days, and we spread a rumour that he got caught by the old Bill shagging his missus in the graveyard and that. It's just another little thing. He was just a bit of a weird bloke. Mm.
Did he stay Goth?
I'm not sure. He left in as a Goth, but he's probably not anymore, because she left him when his money kind of ran out, because he'd come back from Iraq and he was very well off. And then his money started running out and she went. And he had a lot of hard luck, because he lost his job and everything. And he weren't too happy about it, but... It was just another thing. He'd just be like, up at the graveyard today, Terry. And just another thing you have to be there for. A lot of it is that. You had to be there. Should we move on?
Mm-hmm.
We've got Hawkins Wine Bar. There's a man called Mark Hawkins. You might have met him. He's a nice bloke. And... how can I put it? He's very dedicated to his work. He'd stay behind sight a bit. He wouldn't get home till like 8 o'clock, because he just really keen. But he was quite high up in the company. That was White Young Green. And he'd go, what was it? He says, I'm quite partial to a thimble of wine. And so we just got him his own wine bar. Can do it. So we did it. And he's not a big drinker and that. He just the way he said it, and it just stuck with him, the thimble of wine. But he was a very nice bloke, always. Nice bloke to have
about. Some real characters, aren't
they? Yeah.
And then I think we'll probably break at half time, because there's a lot to go around. So
yeah.
To give you a breath, but let's. Let's carry on. Where are we up to now?
Trent's Moustache.
Okay, right.
Trent's Moustache Road. This was there's a bloke called Trent, and he's a bit of a ladies' man, and like a good-looking bloke, and that. And he come into work one day with this moustache, and he'd never seen anything like it. It was huge, and it just looked so stupid on him as well. And like, I use it a lot, because my dad's got a moustache and I'm always taking the mick out of his. And basically Trent come in with this moustache, mate, and he had to say it. Oh, it was hilarious, really.
What was it like?
It was one of those, it comes along the lip and then it went down like a walrus kind of thing. Oh, a young bloke, you know what I mean? And like, he's got quite a wide mouth already, so like, say his lips come like quite wide, it was totally it just looked stupid. Yeah. Looked like a rat hanging off his mouth. And that's Trent's Moustache Road. And then we've got Dave's Hairy Pie Shop. That was the Dave that used to go to Hotel California. He's always talking about sex. That's the only way I can put it. And we went into this cafe, and it was called the Pie Crust. Have you ever been in there?
I know where it is. I haven't
been there. Yeah. Don't go in there, mate. It's absolutely mean. It stinks. And anyways, we're at the counter and we're ordering our food, and Dave's standing there and he's going, "Aye," he's a Scottish, he's going, "Aye, I bet she's got a hairy fanny and all this." And like, she's standing right there. And like, he's telling her she's got a hairy fanny. he's just got to know the bloke. He's like this short bloke, he just doesn't care about anything. Just really is so like up front. And we call it Dave's Hairy Pie Shop because everywhere you went, every girl had a hairy fanny and that. It's just all he was saying. If you met a new person on site and it was a bird, it would be, "I bet she's got a hairy fanny."
One track mind,
isn't it? Yeah. And it was always a hairy fanny. So.
Okay, I think that explains that one.
Yeah.
Right, now, do you want a little break or do you want to carry on?
Well, if we could have a cigarette.
Yeah, okay, why don't we have a little break?
Go on the drilling.
We're on this one here now.
Yeah.
Right, off we go then.
Right, that's... Are we recording, yeah?
Yeah, we are.
Right, that's Garner Drilling Limited. And that was basically... There's this bloke who come over and he got it into his head that he was going to go out to Africa and start drilling wells. And he knew nothing about drilling. He just went out and bought this rig and he decided that he'd be able to drill because he bought a rig. And he'd come over to us like... once every 2 weeks, asking what he'd need and all this kind of thing. And just the way, he was a very slow bloke, like he didn't really know a lot about, he couldn't grasp things. Like, you try and explain something to him and he just wouldn't be able to picture it. And we knew we'd have no chance out there. And eventually he did go out there. We still speak to him a bit. And he went out there and he started drilling, and my dad said to him, "Don't scrimp and save. Like, you want the right stuff. Get enough casing and things like that." He didn't have enough casing, couldn't get down the hole. Went out there, didn't even complete one hole. And he come back, and he wants us to go out there and drill for him. And we ain't going out there. Like, it looks like a dump where he lives. Like, it really ain't a nice area of... like Africa, where he's at. And he just didn't have a clue, mate. He just really thought he could do it and he couldn't, basically. And we just take the mick out of him. If you see some like dented casing and that, it was John's casing. Like, he took that to Ghana. And he just thought he could be a driller, and it's not that kind of thing. People think it's so easy, and it really ain't. And
no, that's a cautionary tale, then, mate.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, if Sweep gets out of the way, we can have a go at the next one.
Yeah, the gaping mouth. Yeah, this was this bloke called Paul Mann, and he was an ex-traffic copper. And he decided to be an engineer, like the same thing that Ed does. And he goes, we was working in all kinds of areas, and it's a very black community in Stratford, isn't it? And so we use like a bit of a Jamaican accent, that kind of thing, yeah, man, like that. And we was talking to this lad called Jordan, like a good mate of ours, and he says, after everything, we'd be like, "Yeah, man, all that kind of thing. And the bloke, the gaping mouth, his name was Paul Mann. And Jordan says, "Oh, what's your name, mate?" And he goes, "Paul Mann." And Jordan, because he's Australian, he didn't understand like the accents and things. And Jordan thought that he was trying to be cool by saying "man" at the end. But really, his surname was Man, and he used to stand there with his mouth wide open all day long, just watching you. I didn't do nothing. The laziest man in the world, and he'd just stand there with his mouth open. So we called him the gaping mouth. He like, if you threw anything towards his mouth, it would go in. Like, it just an annoying bloke, and that's the only way we can describe him: the gaping mouth.
Did you get any people saying it because you were kind of the carpenters and you were working in Carpenter's Road?
I mean, no, we didn't get any of that. I expected it, but no.
Right, okay. So we're on from Gaping Mouth to
Gary and Amber's Love Nest.
Oh, right, okay. Well,
there isn't really a story to this one. It's just my girlfriend, isn't it? And just so that I knew I was at this time I was with Amber. Yeah.
So you met her at the time when you were working on the site?
I met her before the site, but not that long before. And I don't know, my dad really likes her and that. And I think it's just a...
just a way of recognising
them. Yeah. It's just a nice little thing. Yeah. And then we move on to the La La Song nightclub.
Yeah, I'm sure and, that's
what I feel. Well, that was my Uncle Paul again, the lying tongue. We, you know, I said that he says that that I take the mickey out of him. It was because he used to sing these songs and it was cabaret kind of music that he liked and musicals, but he only knew like the main words, you know what I mean? And when he couldn't remember the words, he'd go la 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 like that. And so me and my dad started picking up on it and we just started like laughing at him and that's basically where that come from, but that was basically why he left, because I used to sing La 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 at him. A bit pathetic, really, isn't it? And,
for yeah. A grown man, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So there was there a why? I mean, just it was this particular place he used to go to do that, was it? I mean,
oh, no, that he used to sing any song, it'd be... it's la 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 la, just all the time. Just loved laughing and he just went a bit mental on it, basically. But we just called it the La La Song nightclub, and they just say Paul hangs out in there and that.
Okay, right. Let's get on to this one.
Aidan's Army Surplus Store. Right, this was. Aidan was another bloke who done that bomb detection, and he was a good mate of ours, like a very good mate, like come down our way and that as well, like stayed with us and just a good bloke. And he was a sergeant major in the army before he started doing this, and that's where basically how we got into bombs and that. And he's a very militant bloke. He in his speech and everything, he'd talk very words that a normal person wouldn't understand, because he was very high up. He had to speak like that, and he'd talk the constituency of the like that, and just a lot of words that like you didn't really understand, and then you kind of would like when you start learning what they mean. But
what sort of words? Remember.
Constituency was quite a big one. I will think of some. Right, constituency is to say the.
When you say he was very militant, what was he talk on about?
Everything was militant. The way he walked, like very in line, moved his arms quite a bit. You had the moustache.
Military, you mean?
Yeah.
Military, yeah. He was military. So he was an army guy.
Basically. Yeah. Right. Knew a lot about it as well. He'd been in for a lot of years, but he didn't really like talking about it. And that, like when I asked him if he'd killed anyone and that, he didn't talk about that kind of thing. He'd just ignore you. But he, very nice bloke who ended up on the site. And we got on with him really well, and he used to bring in some of his old army stuff and that. That's where the surplus store come from. Bring in some of his old army stuff for some trousers, some nice jackets, and just during the winter, you know what I mean?
Good gear.
Yeah, it was, like all the Gore-Tex waterproofs and that, and it was a good bloke though, Aidan.
How long did you work on the site altogether?
18 months. Yeah, a year and a half.
Long time.
Long time. It was the longest time you'd ever worked on any one site.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a long... But it was moving around at the same time, meeting new people as well. But, like, it ended up being me, my dad and Aidan in the end, because, like, we always wanted Aidan to do our bomb thing because he was very... He was always on the ball, quick with it. And the right laugh, like...
Did they ever find any bombs?
Yeah. You never seen the pictures?
No.
Yeah, they found... I know they found... They found hundreds of shelves over on the Nuttall site. Hundreds and hundreds of shelves. And they found another one in the river. Like the, I don't know whether you call it a river, but it was close. But I know that on the Nuttall site, they found hundreds and hundreds of shelves in the ground. And they was going to be excavating it. Well, they started excavating there and they found them and they just kept bringing them out and bringing them out and bringing them out. No end of them.
Where they've put them all, because they've got archaeologists on the site right now, sort of actually doing digs and stuff.
Yeah, we had archaeologists with us, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, we go through your made ground is your first sediment, and that'd be brick ash fill, all that kind of thing, just really yucky stuff. And then it'd go into what they call alluvium. You ever heard of it? Yeah. So. But when we went into the alluvium, the archaeologists would always come to the borehole when we got there, and they'd take our bit of alluvium, but I'd have to lay it out in lines of how it come out so that they had all the way down. And I think, well, I know that they was trying to find out what kind of plants was there, and. Because they can find out the pollens and things, and they can tell what that kind of date it was and all that kind of thing. But, I know we found a thing called... I think it might have been called an ox... No, not an oxen. Actually, it might have been. It was what they used to call sheep before they were domestic. We found one of their... a bit of their skeleton. They were interested in that. And we found quite a few things that they were interested in, but like they never really shared a lot of the information.
Right. But tell us about things that you found, because you've just shown me these bottles. Just say a little bit about the bottles.
All right, the bottles was... I found one of them, and my first one I found was a little ink cartridge. And it was... It's like a little square, and it was covered in this... like a mother of pearl. That kind of colour, like a diesel-y, like all the pinks and purples and that. And I ended up showing it to that Dave, and it turned out that he was a bit of an expert on it all. So he told me a lot about the bottles and that. And we ended up, during my lunchtime, I'd be digging with him, trying to find these bottles and that. I found all kinds of things, like I found my Schweppes one, which is quite a rare, as far as I'm aware. I haven't seen one on the internet. Found those Cobbs ones, but when I was with Dave, he could explain the story to every bottle, like explain why it had these certain ridges in it, how it was made, like blown. He just knew everything about it, very like clued up bloke on it. And so I found the bottles, ink cartridges, I found pottery, little dolls. Bits of dolls, and they're worth a lot of money. Like, people buy the little bits and they make their own doll up. But you found little shoes, all kinds of things, mate, like in this particular site. I think it was some kind of Victorian like dumping ground, but there's a lot of bottles in there.
So you became a sort of amateur archaeologist, really.
I was interested in it,
yeah.
I'll admit that. Like when I started talking to Dave, though, was what really made me like really interested in it, because he knew about it. Like when I said about the pinky purpley stuff on the ink well, that's what they call sick in the bottle collectors. They call that sick,
I don't know what it is. I know that it's not meant to be on there. They don't like it. They try and clean it off of it, but that's what they call it.
So what you called an ink cartridge actually is what we call an inkwell.
Yeah, an inkwell. Sorry, like.
Yeah, it's an old-fashioned, because I'm so old, I can even remember being at school where you actually had, you had to use this real ink.
Dip it in.
Dip it in.
Yeah.
And that was really old stuff. So it was an inkwell.
Yeah, I found glass ones, and I found ones that were very, ones that looked like they were more of a posh person's one, and then I'd find one that was pottery and very badly made, and you could tell that was more of a school one, you know what I mean? What else did I find? I found these little tins of that were meant to be toothpaste, apparently, and all kind of things like that, and tobacco tins, and loads of different items.
So have you kept those?
I've kept a few of them, but it's just a lot of, it was interesting then, and I don't see it anymore, so it's one of them.
Right, okay. Right, let's go on. I know you're probably getting hungry. Quarter to four, but anyway, this is great stuff though. I have to say,
nice one, thanks.
So
we're Carpenter Drilling.
Yes, and right, Son. Okay, what's this?
This is Carpenter and Son Drilling. It was, I think that's just basically my dad saying, because the business is actually called Carpenter Drilling, and I think that's just him saying, you're part of the business now, like Carpenter and Son. And it's just a nice thing to hear, you know what I mean, for me. Nothing to do with the Olympics, really, but just a little number.
Right.
Then we got Jodie's Excavations. She was an archaeologist, and she was the one that used to come out with us and that. And Aidan, our friend, did the army stuff. He was he liked Jodie, like not in a pervy way, because he was a bit old for her. But they really got on well, and we used to mess around saying that Jodie and Aidan was getting it on and that. But like I say, Aidan is a really nice bloke. Anyone could get on with that bloke, and but Jodie was she'd just come out and she'd do like the archaeology for us and. She's a nice person, just someone else on site that I'll remember, you know what I mean?
Now, it's Dave, just to go back to Dave.
Yeah.
Did you talk about him in relation to one of the other sites? I can't remember. You know, the guy that knew a lot about the bottles.
Yeah, he was Hairy Pie bloke.
Oh, right. I thought, that's right, so that was him, that was Dave.
Yeah, okay. although he was very like that, like very upfront and things, he was educated and he knew what he liked, and like old antiques, he liked antiques, and he had a bit of a collection of bottles. He reckoned he had over 1,000.
Right, we're on the home stretch now.
Yeah. Nearly, yeah.
So we've not gone to jail. We've gone round the corner, and we're
Bacon and Eggs Calf. This is another one. You remember, I was saying about the Jamaican accent with the man and all that. We'd go Biakan instead of bacon, and because it was a calf run by the Jamaicans, and it's just another thing. Biakan and eggs, man. That's what we used to say when we used to get our lunches.
Where was this? Was presumably near the site, was it?
This was actually at First Bus when the I'm not sure if they're still there, but there was a bus depot there. And we was working in there, and we ended up using their calf and that, and the young girls behind the counter were Jamaican, and that's where we got it from.
And then next to that, still on the green.
Bywater's Hovercrafts. I've actually got a photo of this on some phone. I'm not sure where it is, but it was. They was using hovercrafts to get these water samples or something on the marshes, and one of the actual hovercrafts they were using were in the James Bond movies. What was the film? The James Bond where he's in Korea, and it's not Sean Connery, it's the other bloke, Pierce Brosnan. It's that one, but we ended up getting there early one day, and the hovercraft was there, and we'd turn the lights on and that, and got all pictures of us on it.
I'd like to see those. You've got your picture.
I've got them somewhere.
How big was it?
Massive, really big. Like, well, not as big as you probably think, though, compared to the sea cat kind of style, but it was a, I'd say it was at least the length of this room. So what's that? It's got to be at least 16 foot, isn't it? I'd say it was about 16 foot long by about 7 foot wide. Had about 8 seats on it. And quite stylish, though, because it was more like a, it had like a jet ski for the person who's riding it, like steering it, like they're on the, like on a jet ski with this massive back bit, and it looked good. It was all in army style and that, but they blew up hundreds of them doing that film. I wouldn't have.
I'm gonna go away. Right, and now we go on to the next one, which is
riding Dirty Road. This is basic. This isn't nothing really. This is just a. It was a song that come out, and I used to drive around to it, riding dirty.
So there's all the time when you were learning to drive. And,
yeah. I thought I was cool with that song on, and really, he really liked it.
Right, and the last two sites.
Right. We got this one.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, that one, yes.
Right, that's Jordan's DVD Emporium. Jordan was the young lad who mistook the Paul Mann incident. But he was an Aussie, and he was very laid back, and he used to he was in control of the site, and he'd sit there and he'd be how can I explain? He'd just sit there watching DVDs on his laptop all day long. He loved his job. He could just sit there listening to music and watching DVDs. So when you went in to the hut to get a cup of tea or something, you had to knock and ask him if he was interrupting any DVD and press pause and that.
And he was supposed to be in charge of it all.
Yeah. But a really nice bloke. He had everything under control, don't get me wrong, but he just used to watch a lot of DVDs. That's what he liked doing. The Lord Lambeth. That was this formation called the Lambeth Group. They sometimes call it Woolwich and Reading. You heard of it?
Is it to do with soil?
Yeah, it's basically a formation of the soils. And he, his name was, oh God, Rosser, Dave Rosser. And he come out on this job, and he didn't really know nothing to do with it, and we basically taught him everything he knew about the Woolwich and Reading, or the Lambeth Group as it's also known as, and he ended up calling himself the Lord Lambeth and the Big Cheese, and he ended up being the authority on the Lambeth formation on the Olympic site, and we taught him everything he knew, But he was an annoying bloke at first, but he ended up to be a nice bloke. At first we didn't really know whether to call him the Lord Lambeth to his face, but at the end we was just calling him everything. Ended up being just a normal geezer on site, whereas before he was a bit of a head honcho, and you didn't really know how to act around him. But yeah, we called him the Lord Lambeth because he thought he knew all about it.
And now we're going even more higher up. We're going to the last one.
Yeah, so. General Thornton, and that's Aidan's Army Surplus. That's Aidan Thornton, and we used to call him General Thornton. And we'd go around and say we'd be on a site. We'd get the spray paint that you mark the ground with, and we'd write General Thornton was here on like walls. And like there's nothing he could do about it. And just another thing, messing around and calling him a general when really he was a sergeant major and that. And it's like I say, we had a lot of good times with Aidan, so he got on there twice.
There's one you haven't mentioned, but it's here. I think it's on the board. It's called the Garner Drilling Limited.
I did mention that one. That was the one where the bloke went out to Africa and he didn't know anything.
You've done it, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Great, fantastic. That's really
That's
great.
That's basically my Olympic site.
Yeah. Well, just to sort of finish it, I mean, basically, I mean, you've told me these really fantastic stories of all these kind of characters, and it seems like really around you, there's a sort of group, these sort of, you know, really interesting people who
no one would ever think about. No one would know that Aidan was ever there, and I think it's good that they do, because if it weren't for him, if we got blown up by a bomb, the whole Olympics would be finished with. There would be no chance it was going ahead with. And everyone on the site, like on this Olympic site, my board, did something towards it. And none of them were going to get any recognition for it. And they all did their bit, you know what I mean? And I think it's good that we're doing this.
Well, hopefully they will. I mean, I just wondering, are you in touch with any of these people, like Aidan, for example?
Yeah, we were in touch with Aidan. We don't really talk to Ed anymore because he went off to, I don't know, South America or something, just travelling. He was one of them kind of people. We talked to a few people. We talked to Aidan quite a bit. But Aidan's about it, really, because everyone else, it's weird how everyone's gone now. Like, we was all there, and then, like, Lord Lambeth, I wouldn't have a clue where he is. Jordan's back in Australia. What's his name? The Goff, Goff's Graveyard. He's back off up Yorkshire, and everyone's just gone again, and just not going to see each other again, but they'll all remember each other, you know what I mean?
Well, what I